The following program is presented by Hanson McLean.
It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us as we talk about the world of money. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both practicing financial advisors, meaning we spend our weekdays with people like yourself, helping them plan their finances, and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So we're not just academics that talk about this stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with academics, nor are we just hired economists that talk about the. Not that there's anything wrong with economists. You know why they have economists, though?
I do.
To make astrologers look good. That is a stupid economic joke. It's so stupid, you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that is funny. That is some good humor right there.
Anyway,
we meet with people like you. We talk about their life situations. It's not theoretical. There's personalities involved, dynamics regarding families and experiences and how they deal with things. And sometimes we give clients the answers they want, and sometimes we don't. But that's what they hire us for.
And oftentimes we find someone will contact us here on the show with a question, and the issue is really not the question they're asking. Oftentimes there's some other things that we uncover just through that. So we actually think there's great value with people working with quality financial advisors. Just like we think there's great value in people working with qualified CPAs and other sort of, we just think there's a great value in that because there's so many moving parts.
And remember, investments are just tools to help you achieve your objective. That's all they are. So I get the question all the time, is this a good investment or a bad investment? It depends on what you're trying to achieve.
If you're trying to lose your money in a quick way, maybe.
Yeah, right? I mean, so it's.
But there are some bad investments.
One of the things that we always like, and we've talked about it on this show, and I will state it again because I ran into someone I know who's a listener of the show, and he bought a limited partnership, and we duck about it every time. We don't like to deal with anything that you can't turn into cash immediately. That's just the reality of it. It needs to price on a daily basis.
It's one thing if you're going to go buy a rental property. Something you can control.
Yes.
But if you are going to invest through an advisor, something that you want to be able to have something you can convert to cash immediately. Number one, you know what the price is. Number two, you can be converted back to cash anytime.
Anytime.
Liquid. That's important. Otherwise, you're locking up your money somewhere where you have no control.
And you don't know the price of it until the day it decides that the investment is over. Till the group that you invested in decides the investment's over.
You know, some of these non-traded programs, we're seeing them pushed more through independent advisors. And it's, you're not going to have it just on a fee-based account. From a fee-based investment advisor, because brokers get paid commissions to sell these non-traded
We haven't talked about that in a couple of years. What's the difference between a broker and an investment advisor?
That's exciting weekend radio.
This is what they call in the business,
like,
a tease.
The people are pulling off the side of the road and thinking, I'm going to listen to this. The difference between a broker and advisor.
Stay tuned.
We will talk. Actually, there's some things, when you're in the market for an advisor, if you've got one, it is important to know some of those things. And it is one of the things.
Well, then you just made fun of me. You feel better about yourself?
That's usually how it works in my life.
I
tease others. I'm a bully, and then it just makes me feel better about myself. Yes, Pat, that is how I do it to my children because my wife's a little more powerful than me. So, but I can't get away with. But I do it with my children, to my pets.
Do you have pets?
I have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I hate that dog.
Well, I hate you.
I hate
my dog.
I hate your dog. Every time we have a phone conversation, all you hear is this thing yapping in the background.
He's protecting me.
This little thing.
You know, it's funny. I had...
What's its name? Snowball or...
Now you are offended.
Fleabit?
What's it called? Fleas on the... Rex.
Oh, Rex.
Rex. He weighs about 15 pounds. Looks like a mop head.
I was close.
And I... You know, it's funny. I was never a pet person. And I didn't want the dog. We got the dog, and something about every now he's like my, he is my best friend. And when I come home,
but how old
are
you?
My teenage kids, instead of running to see me, they run from me.
And you got this little dog.
And the dog, no matter what, so happy to see me, likes to sit near me, loves it when I take him for walks. No matter how bad my day is, he's there for me.
Yeah, I don't like that dog. Well, we try to have phone conversations, and then every 3 minutes, you're like, oh, wait, Scott, Pat, wait.
All right, can we
and
get then back to the
you're like, quiet, moment? Quiet. Snowball, it's Fleabit, only whatever your name is.
His name is Rex, and he only barks when someone's at the door. He's a watchdog.
Okay. All right, enough.
It's actually, I've heard that sometimes these smaller dogs make better watchdogs than big ones because they yap so much.
Yeah, talk yourself into it.
But I know when someone's there, and I know when the kids come home late at night.
That's why we have a doorbell.
Doorbell. Anyway, if you want to be part of the program, you got a question for us, we'd love to take your call, answer your question. Anything in the financial realm could have to do with your retirement plans or saving for kids' education, estate planning issues, investments, IRAs, anything financial related, life insurance, liability insurance,
pet insurance.
We could take a call on pet insurance. To be part of the program, our number here, our call-in number is 916-921-1530. Again, that's 916-921-1530. If you'd like to send us a message, you can text us, 916-229-9999. Again, 229-9999, or you can email us questions@moneymatters.com. And I actually think, Pat, we should start with a text today. So we got a text from No Name Given. And the question is this. My employer offers a simple IRA for me and will match 3% of what I contribute. I'm 68 years old and only work 4 months a year and make $12,000. How much can I contribute to the simple IRA? Actually, that sounds like a pretty good deal. 68 years old and working 4 months a year. I think most people at that stage in life would like some sort of part-time work.
I just to stay engaged.
Yeah, 4 months out of the year. So good for him or her. Don't know if it's him or her. But the question, I guess the question, they didn't call and ask my opinion
on their lifestyle, right?
But I mean, if you just talk to people, and of course, they're kind of changing.
Isn't it funny? You don't see simple IRAs anymore. It's got they probably work for a company that has 3 or 4 employees. My guess is
that's exactly the simple
IRA. You see them in
small,
dental and chiropractic offices, and that's where you see a lot of these.
In chiropractic offices, all the chiropractors that you've seen?
You see them mostly in dental.
Okay. Anyway, so a simple IRA, the maximum you can contribute if your employer offers a simple IRA is actually same amount he earns. It's $12,000 a year. So this person could theoretically sign up to have 100%, not theoretically, in actuality, could sign up to have 100% of his or her pay go into the simple IRA. If you're over 50 years old, which this person is, 50 or older, there's another $2,500 on a catch-up. So
they typically
can put $14,500 a year. But you've got to take into account, if you work part-time for a company that offers a simple and you have a 401k, the combined total can't be more than $17,500 if you're under age 50 or $22,500 if you're over that. They take into consideration all other retirement plans.
But so the answer to the question is, yes, you can contribute up to $12,000, should you? Yeah, I find it curious if they matched.
Well, most simple plans have a 3% match. That's the way they're designed. In order to have them. Most of them have to have a 3% match on them.
But is there a percentage of income that they would normally match to? That would be seem.
They're so hardly used. It's so rare to see a simple plan anymore.
3% of what I contribute. I don't understand that. 3% of pay is what that question is.
It's 3%
not 3% of pay. It's 3% of pay.
Oh, you're reading the question. It's 3% of pay. That's what they have to do. It's typically a 3%
of pay. Yeah, but not. So you're not going to, if you put the $12,000, it's not going to actually cause them to put, and they're only going to match up to 3% of your pay.
They'll put 3% of your pay in.
Yeah.
If you're putting in, yeah, they'll do a match. And then, but you know, if you got a small company and you, a simple IRA, if you don't have any employees, you can use a solo K, a solo 401k. With that, you can put the normal limits up, $23,000 if you're 50 or above, 17.5 if you're under that. But you as the employer can also contribute up to $33,500.
So you can get almost $50,000 a year in it.
No, you can get if you're over 50, you can. Well, you can put in more than $50,000, regardless.
Well, that's almost
around 50. Almost makes it sound like it's under.
Around 50.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Again, our contact number, if you want to call and have a question for us, 916-921-1530, 921-1530, or the text line 229-9999, or an email, questions@moneymatters.com. We got a special guest, Gary Dietrich, when we come back from the break, and we will take some calls as well. You're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
The financial world is much more complex today than it was a generation ago. It used to be that all one needed to do was park their money in a high-yielding bank account and live off the interest. Those days are no more. With interest rates so low and the world so unsettling, it is now more important than ever that your retirement savings is managed with a focus on both return and downside protection. That's where Hanson McClain comes in. Hanson McClain has been serving folks for over 20 years, helping them achieve their financial and retirement goals. Plus, Hanson McClain Advisors is a registered investment advisory firm with the ability to choose from thousands of investments, both commonplace funds as well as less-known offerings. If you haven't seen what Hanson McClain Advisors can do for you, I encourage you to give their office a call and schedule a visit with one of their advisors. They have offices conveniently located in Roseville, Folsom, and Sacramento. Contact them today at HansonMcClain.com or 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Thanks for being part of the program today as we talk about money issues. Myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors with Hanson McClain Advisors in Sacramento.
Roseville, Folsom, Denver,
and the
San
world
Diego,
at large.
Atlanta, L.A.
This is where we have other advisors.
Mm-hmm.
None in Bangladesh, nor Sao Paulo. I'm not going to name all the cities where we don't,
have. Because it's only an hour show.
Okay. Anyway, before we go back and take some calls, again, our call-in number is 921-1530. We've got a guest here today with us, Gary Dietrich. Of course, many of you know Gary Dietrich from, he's a political commentator here on KFPK, as well as Fox 40 and a number of other stations around California, and has been the political commentator for many years. But Gary and I have hooked up on a project that he's been involved in, and Hanson McClain's been involved in as well. So, Gary, welcome to Hanson McClain's Money Matters, and why don't you let us know what's going on?
And I think Hanson McClain, I mean, again, I said it's the pinnacle of broadcast excellence in the Sacramento region. Here you guys are. Well, I got to say this. You guys are survivors, veterans. You've been on air how long?
19 years.
Okay, there you go. And this was funny. I was just telling Pat this morning. You know, hey, so I've been on 20 years in the station. Friends, you're never going to believe this. Just in the last few months, first time I met these guys. But it's awesome, and I love it. I've been listening to you guys for years, too. But this is fun.
It is kind of weird, because Gary and I just met each other a few months ago. And after so many years on the air without, you'd think we'd bump into each other one of these times.
But anyway, I'm glad to finally do it. And a lot of people know that.
Well, you know, in radio, I never knew what the guy looked like. So I might have actually.
Now you have that misfortune.
I might have actually been sitting next to him.
There's been a big disappointment, I want you guys to know. In the station, a lot of depression. Jeez, is that Dietrich? Anyway, so, but this thing where Scott
you
and I
might have ran him off the road, commuting into work one day.
It's radio.
This is really fun, this thing Scott and I are doing, and we're just hoping that you're going to have a partner, Pat, by next Saturday, because this is a big deal. I mean, there's 3 rims, 3 days, trek to protect the national treasure. Scott and I are really pumped up about this thing.
This is this week. This begins...
Tuesday.
Well, yeah.
Midnight.
Almost, yeah, midnight. Actually, kind of Monday
night. What do you
mean
midnight?
We got to start hiking at midnight. So, Gary, tell us a little bit more about this, as Pat's looking at me like I'm crazy for
okay.
midnight.
We don't have to start. It's not
we
like
do.
Someone
for
makes you hike.
For broadcast purposes, we do.
Oh, got it.
I guess I don't have to be there for the broadcast either, nor do I have to be doing this.
Okay, yeah.
I could just sit at home and eat bonbons.
It's not a forced march. You want to do
this. I
want
to do this because I want to help raise awareness for Yosemite and our national parks. And because I think, look, Yosemite was the first national park that was created in this country. In the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, it wasn't in part of the movie.
I did.
You didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
150 years, midst of the Civil War. You think about all the things going on in the nation, and yet somehow they had the fortitude, forward-lookingness to say, we are going to set Yosemite aside as a national park, the first national park, not only in our country, but really, first national park of its kind in the world.
Okay.
So it really set a precedence for many of other national parks and regional and state parks as well. We got some great parks. So this trek, it's three rims, 3 days. We're doing hiking to the top of three separate rims over 3 days in the Yosemite Valley to raise awareness and to raise funds, right,
that's
Jerry?
Right. So that's exactly right. And so it's pretty cool. 50 miles over 3 days, 14,000 feet of elevation gain. Pascal, I'm not going to see Scott for about 2 months. And so so that's what we're going to do. We start on the valley floor, do half dome day one. We leave at midnight, Pat, because we want to be up there on sunrise. We're going to be broadcasting both back to KFPK here and to Fox 40 every morning from one of the rims. So we do half dome on day one, north dome, which is Yosemite Falls, on day two, and the top of Glacier Point on day three, where Fox 40 is going to have their satellite truck, and they'll be doing 4 hours of
broadcasting.
What,
they can drive to the top of this thing?
Just to Glacier Point. There
really?
Is a road
Pat's
up to
like,
that
like, I'm going.
You could drive, Pat. You could meet us up there. But the first two, of course, you can't, and it's going to be awesome. So we leave at midnight to get up on top of Half Dome at sunrise. So Scott's going to be doing it. We actually did a training hike to the top of Mount Tulak in Tahoe
last week, which was
really cool. And so we're looking forward to that, but it is to raise awareness, as Scott says. It's to do a practical project. Some of the funds are going to go to actually do a Yosemite Park Protection Enhancement Project, and then some funds to help increase public awareness and get policymakers even more aware of, as Scott said, the needs of parks. I mean, these are things that are easy to ignore. But even in the Sacramento
region. We've seen over the course of the last number of years, budgetary crunches, it's easy to cut money. We saw it here in Sacramento, the Sacramento American River Parkway, funds were cut. It's just easy. And across the state of California, parks were cut, and across the nation.
So how many people hike with you then?
Well, there's going to be a small team of us because we got to be mobile. We got to see the interesting thing about Yosemite Valley, you cannot broadcast. You can't get a signal
until
you get
you're
to the top of the
right?
rims.
That makes sense.
So we have limited our trek team this time to those people who are actually going on air. So Scott and I are going to be the primary folks doing that, and it's going to be really great. But we have a team of people down the valley who are going to be doing the engineering, technical stuff, broadcasting back, because the idea, Pat, is we want to take tens of thousands of people with us to trek virtually, because we'll be posting stuff on you guys' site at HansonMcLean.com, on CitizenVoice.org, 3RimsThreeDays.com, radio, TV. So we're going to get to take people along with us who, as Scott likes to say, many Sacramentans have never even been to Yosemite. And that's astounding because people come from all over the world, Scott, to do that.
And it's not that far of a drive.
It's pretty easy, actually.
You could even go down just for the day, really. But you can get up early, drive down there, enjoy the valley for the day, and drive home.
A lot of you folks know that these guys are great guys, but I just want to brag on them for 30 seconds. Hanson McLean is our...
You could do more than 30 seconds of bragging on
Okay,
us.
Thank you.
Bring it
well,
on.
They're what we call the summit... Okay.
No, more. Shorten that.
For the next 2.5 hours, we'll talk about Scott and Pat. But seriously, Hanson McLean, an outstanding firm. I mean, they really have an impeccable reputation, as you folks all know, listen to them. But they're our presenting sponsors. We're calling our summit sponsor, big supporters of the project. And then Scott stepped up to the plate. I want to say this. Scott, I just want to thank you personally and publicly. Folks, you made a contribution personally to this.
Yes, yeah, the Hanson family did, absolutely.
And the Hanson family is contributing $5,000 to this project. And we just want to thank you, Scott, for that publicly, because we're honored to be partnering with Hanson McLean. We really are.
Well, we're really pleased to do it. And actually, quite frankly, we want to encourage others that also have a heart for national parks help raise awareness. And
So I want to issue a challenge today. Seriously, I want to listen to a challenge to people who love Pat and Scott. To go to HansonMcLean.com.
Wait, slow for a second.
All three of them.
I know. My family's out of town this weekend. So
who's the other ones loving you?
Yeah. So let's use other
what
words.
What did you call my dog? Flea bit. Flea bit.
I got to meet the dog.
So the three that love you is down to two.
I got to meet the esteemed Rex, by the way, Pat. He did bark a lot. I will admit that. But he's a nice guy.
Too.
But he's a nice guy.
All right, so Gary.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of the show, let's not use the word love. It's pretty strong.
Okay,
we're financial advisors. It's not going to get that deep. You're going to a challenge to what?
Yeah, to basically match Scott's contribution. So I want them to go to HansonMcLean.com, or you can go to 3RimsThreeDays.com. Click on there. You're going to see a picture of Scott and I, right, Scott, when we're summiting Tulak. And we're going to be putting stuff up there regularly. And you can click on there to contribute. And we want people to do that, to support our national, state, regional parks. You know, these are entities that don't have voices themselves. You know, they don't really have high-priced lobbyists downtown. You know, I worked under that dome for 25 years. The parks are always kind of the afterthought, right, yeah. Scott? I mean, yep. They really are. You know, in the budgetary scheme of things, nobody's up there beating the podium saying, save that creek down there, you know, in so-and-so state park. They just don't do it. So yep. This is really an important cause. Scott's, you know, a big, big outdoorsman, as am I. I'm an old Eagle Scout. We're doing this together along with a lot of other people. We'd like you to get involved.
Absolutely. So, again, go to Hanson McLean. You'll see across the top we'll have something that goes by with the picture of the Yosemite and whatnot, and you click right there, make a contribution. You'll also be hearing more of us throughout the week as KPK does some broadcasts for
around. Yeah, Fox we're going to be doing stuff from the top of the rims. We'll do stuff on Fox 40. It's going to be excellent. Thanks, Pat.
Oh, Gary.
Thanks, Scott, for
thanks,
doing
Gary.
This.
Thanks for
I'm
coming
glad you're
in.
Doing it. I'm glad Scott's doing it.
It sounds like fun. It's right up my alley. I like
you like
hikes.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah,
not me.
Yeah. Anyway, appreciate you coming in, Gary. I think we got to get back to the financial program.
Yep.
If you want to be part of the show, our contact number, 916-921-1530. And let's talk with Nadine. Nadine, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, Scott and Pat.
Hi, Nadine.
That sounds like a lot of fun if you can do it at that altitude.
Yeah, we'll see.
I was looking to get your comments on basically once you've accumulated stuff and you're retiring and how to schedule or plan your income, when to how to figure out when to take Social Security.
Oh, got it.
When to take when to accelerate income that's going to be taxable, like old savings bonds that haven't been taxed or require distributions from things. How to do that?
This is probably the biggest area that seems to be the focus in our industry right now, which is called the income distribution planning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much that goes into play here that there's no one right answer. And the reason is because you have to look at what the sources of income are and if you can actually control tax liability on it and your age and whether you have required minimum distributions and how big will the required minimum distributions be at age 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no easy answer.
Nadine, it's interesting. Sometimes I think it could be more challenging and maybe more creative during retirement of determining how much to take out of your retirement accounts. Do we take it from the traditional? Do we take it from a Roth? Do we spend down something else? Do we look at selling this asset? Do we start Social Security at 62 or 66 or 70? Do we file and suspend? I mean, there's so many different moving variables. And I must say, every situation is a little unique.
As much as we'd like to say this is what you do, and a lot of it actually has to do with your health. Do you have a normal life expectancy? Do you think you're going to live longer than most? You know, how much money is in taxable accounts? How much money is in IRAs? The best thing to do, how old are you now? How close are you to actually making these decisions?
59 and a half, and I had the privilege of retiring at 55.
Got it. So there's no restrictions on any of your accounts now in terms of how to take income from them. Are you a widow or divorced?
No.
Okay.
Married.
And does your spouse still work?
No, he retired, and we both have public employee pensions.
Okay. Okay. So it makes it a little bit easier for you. You may find that you're better off, actually, because you've got this consistent income coming in, to suspend your Social Security for a period of time, or to look at. And do you participate in Social Security?
Yes.
Okay. To look at you both individually and decide whether you're going to take Social Security benefits off one person and then the spousal benefit and then move to your own benefit at that point in time. It is the best thing for you to do is actually to sit down with someone that understands it and walk through the scenarios.
And there are tools that the planners have that have the disc or can iterate different scenarios.
That is correct. Correct.
Okay.
And most, a lot of years will be around Social Security, when to take Social Security.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's tools can be of help, but even things like Social Security, I mean, we are kind of a rule of thumb. If those people that are going to be the Social Security income is going to be necessary to help meet their monthly expenses, we encourage people to defer as long as possible, to wait, start it later. But those that have done a great job saving or have a lot of other income, Our concern is at some point in time it may be needs-based.
Right. I have that concern, too.
So, if that's a situation, we can run all kinds of different calculators, but if Congress changes the rules 10 years from now, the calculators mean nothing to us. And
right.
When you take into consideration Social Security and some other issues as well, we got to think of what Congress is. So, hey, Nadine, appreciate your call. I would agree with Pat. I actually think you'd be well served by meeting with a qualified advisor. Take some time to plan this stuff out. So, anyway, we got to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been broadcast for nearly 20 years with one main goal: to help you make wise choices with your money. And what you hear each week on the radio is the same type of straightforward advice Hanson McLean provides to each client each week. Whether you're facing a retirement transition, a 401k review, a portfolio risk analysis, or other financial matter, the advisors at Hanson McLean are here to assist you. Their approach is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean is an independent advisory firm that chooses from a wide variety of financial tools that can range from investment products with the brand names that everyone knows to specialty investments that are as unique as your individual objectives. They combine these with years of experience and intensive research to help you meet your specific goals. So if you have yet to see how the advisors of Hanson McLean may benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
So glad to have you here this weekend as we talk about money, financial matters. And one of the things we talked about at the beginning of the program, which we will get to, is what is the difference between the various financial advisors out there? What's the difference between a broker and a registered investment advisor?
And it matters.
Why should it matter to you? And what you really should expect from, depending on what kind of licenses or what kind of advisor, how they hold themselves out.
Yes, because it does matter.
Oh, absolutely, it does matter.
Yeah.
And it's important for you to understand, and oftentimes, depending on how they hold themselves out, is also how they receive their compensation and whether there's any other backroom deals and some of those sort of
things. And who regulates them.
So we will talk about that during the latter part of this program, right, before the program's out, I should say. And, of course, we'll take your calls, answer your questions, and you can reach us. Anything financial related, love to help you out with. Our contact number is 916-921-1530. Again, 921-1530. Text line 916-229-9999.
Or you can email us at
questions@moneymatters.com. Any one of those ways.
Or you can go to themoneymatters.com and you can actually leave a, there's a place there that I believe you can leave.
I think you can.
But
or
Money Matters is
the McLean website. Or you can come by the KPK studios here. You may not be able to get in the building.
But the Money Matters
if you
website.
Yell loud enough.
We have revamped our Money Matters website.
No, we haven't. We're in the midst of.
When was the
last time you were on the Money Matters website?
2-3 weeks ago.
You were?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, we're in the process of revamping it to make it more educational in nature.
Yeah, but actually, if you go to that or HansonMcLean.com, there's like a bunch of articles I've written for CNBC and stuff over the
little videos
last month are there.
Videos explaining different financial
and
concepts.
And is this your high school graduation picture up on Money Matters, Pat? What is not quite that bad.
Is it really?
It's not high school graduation.
Oh.
Actually, you don't look that much different as an old pitcher. We both look about, I think you're aging better, Pat, quite frankly. Anyway.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Actually, after those comments you made about my beloved Rex.
Your dog?
Yes.
We have no pets. We're petless.
You had dogs when I first met you 20-some-odd years ago.
We had beautiful dogs.
We have a cat.
We don't have the cat anymore. The cat went to stay with someone else. who used to care for the cat when we were out of town. And then...
Oh, is that right?
And then I said to her, hey, how about... And the cat had a bladder problem, which was an issue. Which is really was an issue. And so not only did the cat have a bladder problem, the cat liked to sleep on my car with its bladder problem. So I found it...
You were happy when someone wanted it.
They didn't want it.
They didn't want the cat?
Well, she kind of wanted it.
Perfect.
But I had to help her out financially in
order.
Are
you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Paid someone to take your cat?
Yes, I did.
Of all expenditures, so, you know, part of the things with a financial advisor, when we talk with people, do some retirement planning, oftentimes when we're doing the retirement planning, we'll sit and we'll have some discussion about what kind of expenditures might we have in retirement. We try to think outside the box, because at retirement, sometimes you have expenditures you just don't think about. I mean, yes. You might go visit your family more frequently. What's that going to cost? Whether you're driving, can you stay with the family? You're going to have to rent a little hotel.
The recreation, the whole bit.
All that. One of the areas I have never looked into is, do you have money set aside to pay someone to take your pets? So that's a new one. Although, whatever you pay someone is probably less than what you're going to pay in vet bills over the life of those pets.
That and just the pure frustration of the cat loving to sleep on my car with its bladder problem.
All right. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. We're talking to John. John, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And I don't dislike cats, so don't get me wrong. I like cats.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Hello?
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? I'll try to be direct. I'm 62. I've been retired for 2 years. Because of the financial situations, I am curious about trying to pay off my daughter's mortgage principal, and I'm wondering if that opens me up to legal problems, or can I would say that her principal balance is about $130,000 to $135,000.
Is she married?
She is married.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, is that something that I could do? Does that open me, again, open up the problems? Or is that into the gifting? I know there's something like $14,000 a year. Does that play into it?
And you can afford this?
At this point, yes.
Well, that's what scares me. Is there a point in the future where you wished you wouldn't have had to do it? That's the question, right? Do you have that so much money?
Well, I don't want to sound that smug or anything like that, but
well, you might.
Like I said, I have no debt. So I have no debt, and then I've got about $120 in an IRA, and about another $100 in money market, and not getting much interest there. And of the IRA that I have, it's on a ladder. I don't know it's called a ladder. So about a third of it, about $40,000, will be coming due in the next couple
of
months.
So you have it in a bond ladder.
A couple things going on.
Or a CD
here.
Ladder.
So I'm glad we asked this question. So the first thing, there's the gift tax and how much you can give to somebody in any 1 year. And this applies to your family as well. You're only allowed, allowed is kind of a strong word.
John, are you married?
I am married, yes.
Okay. An individual can transfer to anyone else they would like up to $14,000 per year before there's any gift tax rules that come into play. Okay? So $14,000, you can give your daughter $14,000. Your wife can give your daughter $14,000. You can give your son-in-law $14,000. You can give me $14,000 if you want it, right? Anybody wouldn't
it's
be bad.
It's the recipient. It's not how much you could give it. So you could give 100 people $14,000.
If you wanted to, without any gift taxes. Once we go over that, we have that we can pass on either during our lifetime or at our death up to $5 million. That's the current estate tax limit. Exemption amount applies to both at death and while we're living. We can give up to $5 million.
And the gift and the estate is the same, Scott?
Yes, that's correct. Up to $5 million before there's any tax consequences. So if you gave more than $14,000, you could give $14,000, your wife can give $14,000, there's $28,000. Anything above that is just going to reduce your $5 million, and your wife has $5 million. So unless your estate's worth more, if your estate's close to $5 million, then there's some consideration. If you're so far off that, there's
then don't worry about it. So most people don't worry about it. Here's what you should worry about. The first thing you should worry about is when you give this money to your daughter and she pays down the mortgage, you're commingling those assets as community property. So you're giving it to your son-in-law as well.
Correct.
And if there was a problem in the marriage at some point in time, you would recognize that those dollars had a good chance of being community property, not individual property.
Gotcha.
All right. That would be...
It's a consideration. That's a consideration.
It's a real consideration.
The second thing... If it's let's say it's $135,000, you have $100,000 in a money market that's
which you could give to her easy.
But the other $35,000 is going to have to come out of your IRA.
Which means that in order to get the $35,000 out, you're probably going to have to take $50,000 out, pay taxes on it to give her the $35,000.
Gotcha.
From what you've told me, if
do you have a lot of other pension income?
I have pension income.
If the money in your IRA and the money in the money market was stolen tomorrow, let's just say, or you lost it, some bad bet, would it have any impact on your retirement?
Well, I have, like I said, I have a pension income, and I have not been taking Social Security. I was debating whether to do that when I turned 63. I could take Social Security. And then
you can take it now, too, for that matter.
And does your daughter need the money? Would it improve their life significantly?
I wouldn't say it would improve. No.
Here's my view of it. You don't have enough money liquid either in money markets or in IRAs to be giving significant amounts of money away.
That's what I kind of wonder, too.
And if it's not dire for her, plus you're too young. If you were 79 or 80 or 85,
yeah.
I would. But you're 62. I appreciate the fact that you want to help her. I think it's a bad idea.
You think it's a bad idea?
I think it's a bad idea.
As you're saying, but okay. Just leave it at that.
I wouldn't do it.
I would agree with that.
I'll take your expertise.
Well, if your daughter, if there's some financial needs, you'd probably be better off just as those needs arise, try to help in those things, or if it's the grandkids, to help with some of the grand. I think from your own planning, you'd be better off doing that. Our concern is that you do this, you've got some other issues down the road, medical issues, who knows what, and now you don't have the cash for it. And
yeah, or you free up enough of her income and they go out and buy Corvettes. Matching, bright yellow, bright red.
I wouldn't be happy with that.
It happens.
I doubt that. Matching Corvettes. It happens. I don't know anyone who has matching Corvettes.
Matching Corvettes. Bright yellow.
And a bright
red. Are they matching if they're different colors?
Hey, we got to take a break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
The financial world is much more complex today than it was a generation ago. It used to be that all one needed to do was park their money in a high-yielding bank account and live off the interest. Those days are no more. With interest rates so low and the world so unsettling, it is now more important than ever that your retirement savings is managed with a focus on both return and downside protection. That's where Hanson McLean comes in. Hanson McLean has been serving folks for over 20 years, helping them achieve their financial and retirement goals. Plus, Hanson McLean Advisors is a registered investment advisory firm with the ability to choose from thousands of investments, both commonplace funds as well as less-known offerings. If you haven't seen what Hanson McLean Advisors can do for you, I encourage you to give their office a call and schedule a visit with one of their advisors. They have offices conveniently located in Roseville, Folsom, and Sacramento. Contact them today at HansonMcLean.com or 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
I'm having a good time today.
It's nice. It's very nice.
It's funny because you talk to people. I was on a bike ride this morning, and I said something about I've got to get back, got to go to my show, do that's pretty cool. And it's when it's having to go to, just like most jobs, having to go to the work, it's, and then when I'm here, I always have a good time. I'm glad I got to do this.
Yeah, some jobs, not like most jobs, some jobs, it's not fun going to them.
I'm so glad I get to dig this ditch today.
Right? And how many had jobs like that. I had a job in college where we were pulling gas tanks. I was terrible.
Oh, here's Pat's college jobs. Pulling gas tanks?
Yeah.
You were pulling a gas tank? What do you mean pulling a gas tank?
You would take these gas tanks that were leaking.
What gas tanks?
They were backup generators for utilities. For switches and for the phone company.
How big were these gas tanks?
Oh, I don't know, 800 gallons.
And you, what would you do with the 800 gallon gas tank? You personally, I don't understand.
I'm strong like that. No, we would take a crane. We would take,
crane. You were like a crane operator.
All right, let's just go to that.
You were some sort of grunt on the job.
Yes, in college, they did not let me operate the crane.
And they probably treated you like as a grunt.
Oh, I cannot even tell you what they called me. They had a name for me that you cannot say on the air.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes.
That's weird. In the construction trades?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh,
never heard of such a thing. Anyway, we digress. 921-1530, if you want to call them. We might have time for another call or two to join the program. 921-1530. And the text number is 916-229-9999. And we'll talk here after in a bit about really the difference between an advisor,
an investment advisor,
and an investment broker.
And why you care.
Why you should care. Let's talk to Chris. Chris, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
How are you guys?
Well, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
What's going on?
I've got a question for you. I've got a small business. I employ about 7 people now. We put in a bunch of money at the end of every year to a profit sharing, have a pension consultant administer it. And then once a year, we've got our financial advisor come in, and we sit around the table for about 45 minutes and decide where we're going to put the money.
Uh-huh.
The business is growing. There's more people there now, and I've heard, from different people that I could stand to maybe be sued down the road if the returns aren't what the employees would have liked me to invest it in.
Uh-huh.
That's so I guess true. My question is, what's a safe haven to do something like that?
So, it's funny. I have had this conversation with some of my neighbors that own businesses. And
it's not uncommon at all. When you have a small business, you have a profit sharing, you don't set up the expense of the 401k, the hassle of the 401k. You have a profit sharing, you don't know how much profit you're going to have throughout the year.
You fund it. You have great liability here depending upon the account sizes, right? It's all depending upon the account sizes. For most small businesses like yourself, the majority of the dollars are actually for the benefit of you or some close
people.
Family members or the key people. But you have liability for the rest of those dollars. And the way you get rid of that liability is to set up a 401k.
Well, first of all, the way to reduce it is you can follow what's known as a prudent investment process. What would a prudent investor do? And there's been some court cases beyond this, a prudent investor, which...
But you could do that, Scott, but you wouldn't.
Well, I'm just telling them.
So one of the ways you could. One of the ways you could.
And where you highly diversify, you manage it very similar to, say, how a large pension plan would be managed. That doesn't protect against losses necessarily, but it is what a prudent investor would do. So if someone comes back in the future and says, hey, wait a minute, Chris, how come I didn't make any money? You can say, well, look, here, we followed a prudent investor.
Yeah, the portfolio was 60% stock, 40% bonds and cash, and these liquid alternatives, and this is why we manage it like that. We use modern portfolio theory. And if you're going to do it, you want to make sure you're using modern portfolio theory if you're going to do it like this.
When you said I sit down with the broker and we talk about where to put the new cash,
that's not modern portfolio
strange.
Theory. Modern portfolio theory says
this is our process.
This is where you're going to put the money in. Your opinion doesn't matter that much as the contributor to the plan. That's modern portfolio.
We've seen people in profit sharing plans somewhere. There's a lot of money tied in with other employees making huge decisions, bets in all kinds of different areas,
which is awful.
I'm betting on healthcare.
So
betting on oil and gas.
That's one way you can do it, is make sure you follow modern portfolio theory and prudent man. The other way you can do it is you could set up a self-directed 401k. And that is what we have done at Hanson McLean. We have a self-directed 401k for all the employees. We match what's called a safe harbor match in there.
And if you want, you can contribute more at a profit-sharing plan like you're doing now.
So at the end of the year, you can contribute up to limits, a percentage of your profit to those plans. What you'll find...
That way, every employee chooses how their dollars are invested.
Yeah. So the question that you've got to ask yourself is where am I going to get the best protection, and what is going to best satisfy my employees? So our view of the world.
Well, let's take a step. When we started Hanson McLean 20 some odd years ago, We first started with a profit-sharing plan.
Just like this.
Just like your situation, Chris. We had one employee, then we had two employees, then we had three employees. And then as the company grew, at some point in time, we said, look, we need a 401k. And we established the 401k and transferred the account balances from the profit-sharing plan into everyone's 401k balances. Then every employee had the option. They got to choose how they invested their dollars.
And we don't do a profit-sharing in ours.
But we do a
safe harbor match.
We do a 3% automatic and then a 50 cents on the dollar match.
So, and one of the things that you have to question is, does the employee would the employee rather have the profit sharing actually put into the plan, or would they actually rather have that paid out to themselves personally? Right? And what and that's a question that you've got to go through that kind of the thought process. The funny thing about these plans is you don't want anything to really do with it, Chris. It's just a pain in the butt for you, right? You're running a business.
No, you're right. I mean, when it was three of us, it was easy. We're putting nice money in, and now there's five, now there's seven. And I'm just worried about the liability.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, at some point in time, maybe in the past, you're putting 15% of pay in or something. There might be a time that's like, wait, I got a huge payroll here. I can't really grow the business and be quite that generous to everybody.
Yeah, and the motivation. Most employees, if you talk to them, would much rather have you pay them in cash rather than put the profits into their plan.
Gotcha.
So I would talk to either your current retirement plan provider or talk to somebody else who specializes in retirement plans and look at establishing a 401k. I think you're going to find the costs are about the same where you're at right now. And it's now everyone's got their own thing to work with, and it clearly reduces your liability here.
That makes sense.
All right.
Yeah, and it is. I tell you, you don't want to have to deal with this stuff. You're trying to make money, run a business somewhere else, and all of a sudden you've got this responsibility that's thrown on the side.
But a 401k, the nice thing about it, as you grow, employees are going to want this.
Yes, that's correct. They don't want it where you're managing the money.
Not only that, they're going to want a plan where they can contribute to their own retirement.
Correct.
Dollars.
And the more educated your actually workforce is, the more the 401k actually makes sense.
And as long as you put in 3% of everyone's pay, there's no what's called top heavy rules. You're allowed to contribute 17.5 of your own money if you're under age 50, or 23,000 if you're over age 50.
And Chris, does your spouse work in the business as well?
No.
Okay. All right. We have to see.
I hope that helps, Chris.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, it's nice that you've got that kind of plan and doing something for his employees there. And all right. Let me take a. Here's a text message that came in to Hanson McClain. Question is, will a prenup protect our daughter's retirement savings, her IRAs and thrift plan? Here's the issue. Prenups, we're not attorneys, but I would suggest you get legal advice on this. Prenups will protect assets up until the time of marriage. If it's California, community property state. So if somebody has, let's say, a 401k plan that has some certain dollars in it,
You don't even need a prenup for that. It's just protected because it was acquired before the marriage.
But whatever that. But the issue is, let's say there's $50,000 in the 401k. They get married. The 401k through contributions and everything else is now worth $250. The growth between the contributions and the growth in the contributions during the time of marriage is community property. Spouse is entitled to 50% of those benefits.
Correct. You don't need a prenup to protect the initial amount.
And
the
prenup's not going to help you. Prenup is not going to protect. It's not going to state, that the spouse has no claim to those retirement dollars.
That's correct.
It's not going to do. It's kind of irrelevant there.
Yeah.
So.
So
if there's typically, if there's not much assets, a prenup, if you're in a community private state, prenup's not going to do much for you.
Yeah, but if there was it depends on how much assets were involved going into it.
So, hey, we said that we would talk today about the difference between a broker and a registered investment advisor. Here's the main difference. If you have a financial advisor at one of the large firms, they are a broker. They're a licensed stockbroker. They may have a setup where they get some compensation on a fee basis, managing money for a fee. But odds are they also receive compensation in the form of commissions from buying and selling securities. Mutual funds, stocks,
whatever. Bonds, whatever. Okay.
A registered investment advisor, on the other hand, the way they're set up, they do not receive commissions on the buy and selling of products. Their compensation comes from fees charged to individual clients.
Much more transparent. So an investment advisor is much more transparent than a broker. The other big difference is that a broker only has to sell you something that is suitable, whatever that means.
Suitable.
It doesn't mean best of class.
If your advisor at the very large firm, they have to sell you something that's suitable, recommend something suitable, but not necessarily in your best interest.
In your best out of all the selections out there. An investment advisor has to have a fiduciary responsibility to you, which means that they need to put your interest first.
They have a legal fiduciary responsibility. You will only get that with a registered investment advisor. Do we have a bias towards those? Yes, we are registered investment advisors. So we understand the differences. We think it's really important that your advisor has a fiduciary standard, not just a suitable standard. Anyway, we are out of time. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11, rebroadcast Sundays from 2 to 3. It's been great being here with you. We'll see you next week.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been broadcast for nearly 20 years with one main goal, to help you make wise choices with your money. And what you hear each week on the radio is the same type of straightforward advice Hanson McLean provides to each client each week. Whether you're facing a retirement transition, a 401k review, a portfolio risk analysis, or other financial matter, the advisors at Hanson McLean are here to assist you. Their approach is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean is an independent advisory firm that chooses from a wide variety of financial tools that can range from investment products with the brand names that everyone knows to specialty investments that are as unique as your individual objectives. They combine these with years of experience and intensive research to help you meet your specific goals. So if you have yet to see how the advisors of Hanson McLean may benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at hansonmclean.com.